week's budget is expected to include a multi-million dollar package to help Defence Force veterans battling mental health conditions, with a $350 million boost to the Department of Veterans Affairs. That will include more than $30 million for non-liability mental health services to ex-servicemen and women who will no longer have to prove their mental health condition is linked to their service before receiving treatment. The government will also spend $10 million on suicide prevention programs, which will include a pilot program providing case management for veterans after they are discharged from hospital. In total, the government will spend $220 million on mental health, suicide and programs to help personnel transition to civilian life, as well as addressing problems with the claims system for veterans seeking financial support. Officials with the Cronulla Sharks are denying suggestions of a systemic drug problem at the club after its chairman Damien Keogh stood down yesterday pending charges of drug possession. Police allege they found the 55-year-old with a bag of white powder at a venue in Woolloomooloo. Sharks chief executive Lyle Gorman admits the situation is highly disappointing, but says justice has to take its course.
I've expressed our disappointment. I mean, clearly these things aren't great for the club or the game, but let's be clear, these are allegations. Damien deserves the right and is owed the right to go through a process of defending himself, and he'll do that. Thinking of him today and his family, there's tremendous challenge all around at the minute.
Overseas and outgoing French President François Hollande has said that a massive hacking attack against his potential successor, Emmanuel Macron, will not go unpunished after a series of emails, some fake and some stolen, were posted online. The BBC's Mike Sanders has more.
President Hollande alluded to procedures that will kick in if the hacking attack is proved. He said everyone knew that the presidential campaign was at risk, given what had happened elsewhere. A clear reference to alleged attacks by Russian hackers on Democratic Party during Hillary Clinton's unsuccessful presidential bid. The information stolen from Mr. Macron's team was spread by websites such as 4chan, an avowedly politically incorrect forum whose users are suspected of disrupting the Clinton campaign.
A couple is mourning the loss of two young sons killed in a road crash near Dubbo in New South Wales. The brothers, aged 9 and 12, were found dead at the scene of the highway collision in the early hours of yesterday morning. A third brother, aged 4, is in a serious condition in hospital with internal injuries. The family's four-wheel drive collided with a B-double truck on the Newell Highway. The parents escaped with just minor injuries and were treated for shock, while the male truck driver was airlifted to hospital with back injuries. A 26-year-old man is in hospital with serious injuries after being knocked from his moped by a ute in an alleged hit-and-run incident on the Sunshine Coast. Police say the crash happened at Diddillibah around 8 p.m. last night, and they arrested a 21-year-old man shortly afterwards at nearby Petrie Creek. He has been charged with dangerous operation of a motor vehicle causing grievous bodily harm while under the influence of liquor and failing to remain at an incident and assist an injured person. He's due to appear in Maroochydore Magistrates Court on June 5. Meanwhile, a 23-year-old woman has died after her car struck a power pole at Bly Bly, also on the Sunshine Coast. Also in news, a Melbourne man will face court today after allegedly stabbing three people, and a man has been stabbed in the head after confronting a teenager who tried to steal his car in Sydney's West early this morning. This is AIR News. Footy fans have been left scratching their heads after a contentious free kick late in Richmond's 5-point loss to the Western Bulldogs. The decision to play a deliberate out-of-bounds free kick against Jaden Short, who appeared to genuinely fumble the ball deep in Richmond's attacking 50 with 23 seconds left in the game, robbed Richmond of one last roll of the dice. Final score, Bulldogs 11-14-80 to Tigers 11-9-75. Wins also this round for the Kangaroos, Blues, Eagles and Suns. Germany's Ingrid Klimke leads the badminton horse trials after the cross-country phase as she bids to become the first female winner in a decade. Yesterday's leader, Australia's Christopher Burton, and his horse Graf Liberty were left disappointed by a score of 69.3, dropping to 19th after struggling on the brand new cross-country course.
Really disappointing, of course. It was just one of those things that happens very quickly and we got tangled.
Tomorrow's round is show jumping. Contests all over the field will dictate who wins today's A-League Grand Final, but one of the biggest may play out between two men standing some 100 metres apart. Goalkeepers Danny Vukovic and Lawrence Thomas were teammates last season at Victory, where Vukovic started as number one gloveman, but was displaced by a backup almost a decade his junior. Thomas, 24, has kicked on in fine form this campaign with 8 clean sheets. Yet he's also been watching Vukovic's sensational revival at the Sky Blues, where the 32-year-old veteran notched 16 clean sheets en route to being named A-League Goalkeeper of the Year. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio Sydney weather.
Sydney's weather. We're heading for a top temperature today of 19 degrees. Beautiful sunny day. Very little wind. No rain, Jimmy. Loving this autumn sunshine in Sydney. What about at Balmain and down at Bega?
Heading south. Early doors,
way
right?
Down south.
Way down south. Balmain, 14 degrees currently at Balmain. It will reach a maximum of 19 degrees. Got down to 8 degrees at Balmain overnight.
Well, we both got the shorts on today. It's beautiful.
There you go. Yeah, I think it's okay. Winds easing for Bega today. A sunny day and a maximum of 18 degrees.
All covered, all ground, all beaky. Franco won the champion stakes and lived up to the fight.
International racing at its very best. 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network.
Breezy, mate, you're looking good. What have you been up to?
Just been shaking it.
Shaking it?
Man shaking it. See, Murph, you can lose the beer gut without losing all the beers.
I'll drink to that.
Buy 3 weeks' worth of the man shake and I'll throw in an extra week for free. So buy now at themanshake.com.au.
Two of the biggest days on the country racing calendar are almost upon us.
This Friday is Darley's Scone Cup Race Day, featuring the Cup, the English 2-year-old Challenge and the Noel Leckie Country Cup.
Saturday is highlighted by the English 3-year-old Guineas, Emirates Park Dark Jewel Classic, plus 4 listed races.
Book your hospitality package or race day tickets now for the 2017 Darley's Scone Cup Carnival at sconeraceclub.com.au.
That's Scone Raceclub.com.au. It's the Southern Hemisphere's number one breeding stock sale, the Magic Millions National Weanling Sale, May 25 and 26 on the Gold Coast. Over 550 lots, by a record 95 individual sires, including 19 exciting first season stallions. Graduates of the sale include Group 1 stars Piero, Zoostar and Peggy Jean. Catalogue at magicmillions.com.au. The Magic Millions National Weanling Sale on the Gold Coast. The future is here.
Oh, look out! Walker, he's kicked into vacant space. The bounce is favourable for Greg Inglis to score on one leg.
That's it!
The finger goes up. It's all over. 8 wickets for Nathan Lyon.
And another World Golf Championship for Dustin Johnson. In the end, the guy with all the firepower and all the game ends up on top.
There we are. It's Serena Williams. 14 years after that first victory here, Grand Slam number 22.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome to your Sunday morning. I hope you're having a great start to this day. It is supposed to be spectacular weather-wise. There is so much of the sport that's going on. We have the very last City v Country match. It's being played out at Mudgee, and it's, I don't know, there's mixed feelings about this one. I'm
City
a country
couldn't get
boy.
A team for a few hours.
Yeah, that's right. They had to delay the naming of the team on Monday whilst there was a few phone calls. A couple of players there playing in the Intra Super Premiership. So difficult in filling out the 17. No problem with the countryside, of course, and I think maybe it means a little more to the country guys to be playing. I know from my own point of view, being a country person, that there's a great deal of pride in that famous jersey for a game that's been played for over a century. So it's the last one today. We'll take your thoughts on it. Should it be the last one? What should replace it? More NRL games in the bush.
I'm with you there.
Is
absolutely
one of the answers, Ray. 13:53:53. We'll take your thoughts on that. Of course, we've got an A-League Grand Final that we're blue.
The big blue.
The big blue, but we are blue fans too.
Oh, absolutely.
Sydney FC, so we're looking for Alex Brosk and the team to do it. Out there at Allianz Stadium at 5 p.m, that's going to be a huge clash. And at the same venue, or just about the same venue, we've got the Swans going on today, but had International Rugby League last night at Campbelltown. Unbelievable. The crowd that was out there.
Only 20,000, wasn't it?
Just shy of 20,000, 18,271.
Great stuff.
Making a huge amount of noise. We'll get to that.
Some of those
harkers
were compelling to watch.
The Sipi Tau from Tonga was then performed for the next hour and a half by my eldest son. Thought we were going to war. So anyway,
well, it was good.
He thoroughly enjoyed that. So it was good. Massive performance from Australia on Friday night. Huge in that win over New Zealand, Ray.
Do you think so?
Yeah. I thought they played very well.
They did. I put a little rider to you, Jim.
Yeah.
One try from intercept, two from kicks.
Mm. You're allowed to score a try from kicks.
All I'm saying is the 30-12 scoreline possibly could have flattered the Kangaroos a little. I thought New Zealand were competitive. When they had the ball, they looked dangerous. If their kicking game was more on song, who knows what would have happened if they had more repeat sets. The thing about Australia is in the Kangaroos, they were so methodical and virtually mistake-free compared to New Zealand. They don't panic. They're a great team to watch. But I just thought the scoreline flattered the Kangaroos a little. Is that unfair?
You could see it a little bit in the England versus Samoa game last night as well, too. The finish to your sets, and this comes down to NRL, and this is why Jonathan Thurston and Cameron Smith and Cooper Cronk and all these guys are so vital to their teams. The finish of the set is becoming more and more important. Yes, I don't disagree with your assessment of that game.
What about Jonathan Thurston? Big news re his shoulder. Could be up to 6 weeks, which will be the first two origins, won't it?
Well, there's no one done the dates more quickly than Laurie Daly. Would have looked at that. You might push him out to the second one.
You beauty boy.
Oh, because no one
they bring in?
No
seriously, is it?
Who are they? They've got a fair candidates.
Corey Norman, Cherry Evans, Ben Hunt.
Milford.
There are four or five of them they could bring in.
Yeah, no, there's a heap of them. Mm. So we'll take
but
your thoughts
still
on that
Jonathan
too.
Thurston.
13:53:53. The unfortunate thing about what we're going to be talking about today, Thursday night it was Sean Kenny-Dowell charged with possession of cocaine. Friday night it was Damien Keogh, chairman of the Cronulla Sharks and, of course, CEO of Hoyts, charged with possession. And then no charge against Jesse Bromwich and Kevin Proctor, but they were named in court by a Canberra man, and allegedly there is CCTV footage of them snorting cocaine. So they're the things that...
The worrying thing.
All the great things we've had about this weekend of international football, unfortunately they're the things that we might be talking about today.
The sad part about this, and the worrying thing in some respects, is that these aren't youthful men. They're experienced senior players and a very senior official. These are mature men.
Well, I'm really shocked about the Jesse Bromwich one, because he, out of that system in Melbourne, captain of the New Zealand team, and again, allegations at this point, waiting for proof, but that's the one that really shocked me. Damien Keogh as well. Maybe it says something more about Sydney and society, although...
It's not an excuse, Jim.
Not an excuse. No, absolutely. Big program, right? Dare I say it?
Is it massive?
Yeah, no, it's massive. We're going to have a chat with Chris Waller. Chris Waller had some incredible performances around the country yesterday, but he's not in the country.
He's at Churchill Downs.
And yet still he wants to make sure that he's on the radio on a Sunday morning.
No, we can cross live to him at Churchill Downs. What a treat that'll be.
Looking forward to that. We'll have our race replays as well. Timmy Clark, Top Cat, he was in good form yesterday at Rosehill Gardens.
He's riding well.
We're going to speak to Greg Radley as well.
Where's Greg?
Well, Greg's not in the country. He's at Churchill Downs.
Do you reckon you can pull us a few strings and get us over there next year for the show?
Mate, we're flat out getting to... we can't get to Bega.
Good point.
Let alone Churchill Downs.
Good point, man.
I think we went to Canberra once. We had a trip out.
Good point.
That was about as far as we got. Zorba was there that day in Canberra.
He was.
He'll be with us again this morning. Deanne Pannier had a very good win yesterday on Untamed Diamond.
Back in the big lights on a Saturday.
Phil Moss back in the big lights on a Sunday morning. I know he enjoys coming in. He's very bullish about what Liverpool's doing during the course of the week, and understandably so. I think I'm gone with those cartons of beer.
I've got that carton for you too.
Yeah. You have?
In the back.
Why do you hang on to it?
I park right next to you as well.
Oh, right. Good thinking.
Yeah.
Easy transfer of goods.
Correct. Always pay my debts.
It looks like in 2 weeks' time I'll be borrowing your car and handing it back.
I just wanted to pay my debt first.
No, fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. We'll have the Kentucky Derby too. As they say, Kentucky Derby.
Mm.
8:46.
The Derby.
It is due to jump. Could be anywhere between 8:46 and about 8:57. We're going to try and fit the ZNZ quiz in there somewhere. Just a score update on that.
Which is?
11:06.
Oh, you kicked.
Yeah. A-League Grand Final, we thought we'd go to football for our legend of the game. We've come up with Robbie Slater.
Oh, what a great player he was. And what a great career he had in Europe, too.
Unbelievable. You do your little background on Robbie Slater.
You realise, you forget,
First Australian to win an EPL title?
With Blackburn Rovers.
Blackburn Rovers.
Just tremendous career he had.
Of course, he played in that ill-fated game. We've got to ask him about it at the MCG v Iran.
He also played in the 93 World Cup qualifier against Argentina, 1-1 against the great Diego Maradona. Now, that would have been a highlight.
And the Argentinian press just referred to him as the Red One.
Didn't know who he was.
The Red One.
His man of the match that day, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He was, so... We'll have a chat with Robbie Slater. We'll look forward to that. Trent Lenscar from tab.com.au. We'll have a sports update with Tanya. Dean Bulldog Richie with all the latest in the world of rugby league. I wonder whether Dino's heading out to Mudgee. Probably not.
Yeah, a bit too far from the northern suburbs.
He's flat out making it to the city to office, I hear.
He won't come into here, my friends. He lives around the corner.
He lives around the corner. Phil Moss will come in here.
Great point, Ray.
Exactly, Mossy. Mossy comes in here and does it live. Dean Bulldog Richie lives around the corner. You think we can prize him out of bed?
Is he out
on
of bed
a Sunday
yet?
Morning?
Is he awake?
Nah. You're the schmuck. That's right.
He might send in a text in a sec.
Yeah, well.
I'm not coming on.
No, he wouldn't be awake yet.
He'd probably not. I don't think so.
Nah. You know what he strikes me as? A cup of tea and toast in bed, man.
Do you reckon?
On a Sunday morning? Yeah.
I don't want to think about it, actually.
No, all right. No, fair enough. Look, Scotty. Icky. Yuck.
Let's move on quick.
Let's move on very
show.
Quickly. Yeah, you're right. Congratulations to John Coates. He's been returned as president of the AOC.
Isn't that a messy little sort of
saga? Didn't it get ugly? So 58 votes to 35.
Pretty comprehensive.
In the end, I suppose it was. He retains his $700,000 a year position with the AOC.
No wonder he wanted to keep it.
There is actually Fiona De Jong, the former CEO, whom he appointed as CEO. She has a bullying complaint against Mike Tancred and the AOC. It just doesn't read well. There's a contentious sponsorship agreement with SMAM. There are allegations of who actually owns SMAM, whether John Coates is involved with that. It just got ugly. Mm.
Every headline, murkier and murkier.
Yeah, and in the end, they all rolled over and voted for John Coates.
Extraordinary. Anyway.
Don't really understand that one. But anyway, we'll take your thoughts on that if you want to give us your thoughts.
Just as a little aside, I'm not sure we're going to get there, but Carlton had a win again.
Don't tell me we're back to hashtag rebuilding. Was it the under-19s or was it the seniors?
They knocked off Collingwood.
Did they?
Like a grand final for Carlton supporters. So.
Well, when you've had as little success as Carlton have over the course of the...
22 years of fruitless labour, I think you can call it.
Yeah, 22 years. A win over Collingwood is seen as... So what's that mean for Nathan Buckley? How's he going?
Pressure's back on for another week.
Yeah, exactly. What did you think of the England performance? I thought they were pretty good last night.
Wayne Bennett there in the stand.
I can't believe that Wayne Bennett flew three players from the English Super League out for the game and then didn't play them.
It's Wayne Bennett for you. He does those things.
Do you comprehend that?
If you were one of those players, what would you be thinking on the way home now?
Oh, I suppose from the player's point of view, it's not bad. But when you consider that Des Hasler won't let players go to Mudgee.
If you come all the way out from England and you haven't got a run...
It's ridiculous.
You'd be just going, what the hell am I doing this?
If you're going to fly a player out that far, you just give them a run.
You let them play.
So, we'll take your thoughts on that. I thought that was absolutely ridiculous. Tonga got home late, very late, against a brave
Leilani
Fiji. Leilani Latu, what a player he is. And PNG had a win over the Cook Islands as well, the Australian women's team. I tell you what. I know he's got the best defensive technique in the Sims household. Ruan.
And the Gillaroos.
Absolutely.
Has not missed.
The Gillaroos, she played very well. The under-20s, the Junior Kangaroos flogged the Junior Kiwis and Australia won. So it was a winning weekend from an Australian point of view. And we'll take your thoughts on that. We do want to take your thoughts, of course, on the last City-Country game. We had it last week. And, you know, I'm thinking about it more and more. The fact that Canterbury was scheduled to play on a Thursday after the game is on a Sunday.
So little thought goes into it.
Very little thought goes into I'm apportioning most of the blame, not with Des Hasler.
With the NRL?
With the NRL.
I'm with you. I'm with your thoughts from last week, Jim. If you're not going to play any more City Country, take more NRL club games to the bush. Lovely idea.
And in the... Well, it really is a wake for City Country today out there at Mudgee. We thought our talk topic can be sporting events used to happen. Sporting contests that are no longer, that perhaps you'd like to see.
Long kangaroo tours?
Kangaroo tours. We talk about that all the time here. Yeah. Long kangaroo. What about the one day at the SCG on the 1st of January?
Oh, yeah. Amco Cup matches.
Amco Cup. How good is that? Amco
Cup.
Love
the Wednesday night. Get home from school and watch the Amco Cup.
Western Division. Playing in the
74.
Combined Brisbane, remember?
Yeah.
Combined
Wally
Brisbane.
Lewis.
Yeah, yeah.
You're onto something here again, Jim.
So there you go. Sporting events that used to happen, that happen no longer.
More.
Timeless tests.
Oh, South Africa. It went 10 days, didn't it? They had to stop because a boat was coming to pick them up and take them home. True story. That's how it stopped.
Is that right?
Yeah, they had to stop because English players had to get on a boat to go back to England.
There you go. Timeless tests. There's something that we don't see anymore.
Went 10 days in Durban or something.
Flat out going 2.5 days sometimes now. 1353 53 is the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more.
Walking regularly to school is a great way to exercise. But until they're 10, children must always hold an adult's hand when crossing the road. Friday, 19th of May, is National Walk Safely to School Day. If you can't walk all the way, combine a walk with public transport. If you must use a car, leave it a good distance from school and walk the rest of the way.
And remember, active kids are smarter kids.
Find us at walk.com.au, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter.
Running to Penrith Mazda for an amazing end of financial year deal on a new Mazda. Penrith Mazda has over 300 new cars in stock and over 50 utes on display in our Mazda Youth Centre, which means at Penrith Mazda, you get the best selection and the best prices on a new Mazda. So come in and see the Mazda specialist. But hurry in before our amazing run-out deals run out. Penrith Mazda, 2016 Mazda Master Dealer. Family owned and operated. Mulgoa Road, Penrith, just off the M4. MD18808.
May is 5% extra discount month at astivita.com.au. That's a further 5% off the already discounted prices of up to 70% off on wall and freestanding ovens, appliance packages, cooktops, sinks, tapware, vanities, toilet suites, basins, baths and fridges. 2-year warranty, over 50 service locations, with free delivery to most areas. This May, use the code RADIO for your extra 5% discount at astivita.com.au. astivita.com.au.
If you buy a new washing machine at Bingley, we've got a surprise for you. We'll deliver your new washer free, we'll unbox it and unpack it free, we'll take away the packaging free, and Mum will take away your old washer free. So there's no messy trip to the tip for you.
I heard that, Lionel.
Okay, our delivery guys will. But it's only for a limited time, so be quick. Free full service delivery from Bingley.
Excludes Asco and Miele. See in store or bingley.com.au for full details.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
Royce runs onto it, foul, advantage played, a wonderful advantage. Jamie McLaren, a trick. What a performance.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray. And Jimmy, it's Kentucky Derby Day, one of the most famous races in world racing, about to be run in an hour or two in America. And Chris Waller's here on the ground at Churchill Downs. Would love to be there with him. He had a fantastic day back home yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Chris, good morning or good afternoon over there in America. And firstly, congratulations on yesterday. Tremendous day for the stable, particularly with Egg Tart in the Australasian Oaks.
Thanks, Ray. Morning, Jimmy. Yeah, it was a great day. And, I'm having the time of my life here in America. And it's what racing does. It brings everybody together. And doesn't matter what continent you're in, on a racetrack, everybody respects each other. And it brings out the best in everybody and having a ball.
Chris, where were you? How did you watch the performance? Or did you watch the performance of Egg Tart? And how were you feeling about 200 metres out from home?
I was feeling tired. It was about 3:30 in the morning, but I managed to stay up after the Oaks. Yesterday in America, and it was a long day. They have 13 or 14 races yesterday, and today Derby Day. First race at 10:30. The last race tonight is at 8:10. We've got 14 races. I think it's an hour and 20 between the race before the Kentucky Derby,
right,
and then the actual race itself. So it's just it's America as you'd imagine. They just don't take a backward step. They make the most of every opportunity. So, yeah, and all of a sudden, it was Australian racing, and they watch our Australian racing. They don't know Chris Waller, but they certainly know who Winks is.
I bet you they're asking you to bring Winks over there, Chris.
Yeah, well, I've spent a bit of time with Bob Bassett the last few days. And he actually won the Oaks yesterday. He's only got three or four runners here. I think it's the first time or the second time in about 40 years he doesn't have a runner at the Derby, but he certainly made up for it yesterday in the Oaks. And, yeah, he's well aware of Winks. He's been sort of having me on saying she's by a street cry and she likes the dirt. I've seen her action. I stay up and watch her. All the typical American lingo. But no, it's just a great trip.
Yeah, you got to watch those Americans, Chris. I'm married to one. You need to be on your toes all the time. Great photo, by the way, with Bob Baffert in the paper yesterday. What's the purpose of the trip, Chris? Is it a holiday? Is it work related?
Fact finding?
Yeah.
More than anything, just a bit of a reward, really. It's a pretty intense time, in Australia with the racing and obviously with Wink. So, yeah, I decided about 6 months ago I would come over here and appreciate the American racing, and yeah, it's certainly one of the things that I'll always remember for the rest of my life.
What's the crowd like, Chris? They get up to 140,000 there at Churchill Downs on Derby Day.
Yeah, well, I think they're up to about 140. They said today, and it's been a very wet week, and I think it was the coldest Oaks on record yesterday. But today's been a fine day, but the last half an hour it started to rain again. So, okay. Yeah, the ponchos are out. You can make a lot of money out of them today, but everyone's still having a great time.
And from what I understand, mint julep is the drink of choice.
Not nice.
No, have you been able to partake?
Not the drink of choice. It's what gets put in your hand when you walk on course.
Right.
It's 10 o'clock in the morning. It certainly gets you into the moment.
Yeah, not my cup of tea, that one, Chris. Hey, Chris, just back quickly to Egg Tart. Well, is she a chance to go on to the Queensland Oaks?
Yeah, she will, Ray.
Okay.
We were hoping she performed as well as she did yesterday, and she hasn't had a lot of racing this preparation. So one of the reasons we sent her there was just to try and split a few of our fillies up. Mm-hmm. Luckily, we've got two or three really good ones this year, and obviously Dawn Wall is the other main hope.
I was going to say, who's the better filly? Because Dawn Wall was terrific in the Gold Coast bracelet as well.
Yeah, hard to say. Dawn Wall, we got a better appreciation of her yesterday on a better track. Mm. So, yeah, the two of them will certainly be good horses to take through to the Queensland Oaks. And it'll be the first horse I've flown between states, apart from going to Perth. We've already arranged a flight for Egg Tart to head up to Queensland once she gets back to the Flemington stable. So I'm not sure if we'll run her again before the Queensland Oaks, but if she goes 4 weeks between runs, I don't think it'll be a major concern. Mm-hmm.
The other performance I thought was exceptional yesterday was that of New Universe. Mm-hmm. The Kiwi came, and the trial form was okay, but the market certainly liked him.
Yeah, well, he's been up and ready to go for a while and just had a few little minor setbacks, nothing major, just transition stage for a horse, and we've sort of sat on him. But, yeah, I was a little concerned when he got so far back, but the instructions we gave was just to get the horse to switch off, relax, because he got a bit keen in his race in New Zealand. But he certainly justified us purchasing the horse because he looks like a horse to be followed closely by the punters in the next few months.
Yeah. Yeah,
there was some impressive wins yesterday, Chris. I thought So Splendid was fantastic. Black on Gold, terrific.
Gold,
yeah, so the stable's firing while you're away, Chris. But look, enjoy Churchill Downs.
Yeah.
Enjoy Kentucky Derby Day. And really appreciate you coming on air at short notice on a Sunday morning back home.
Absolute pleasure. And, we appreciate the way you market Australian racing, and coming to America, you can actually see how good a job we do in Australia, week in, week out. I got a few iconic races, but look, realistically, Australia's got the best racing in the world.
You'd think if you went to the United States, you'd be free of that Sunday morning phone call, wouldn't you? He doesn't miss you, Ray Thomas.
No, I was very proud. I was probably the instigator more than anything. So, as I said, it's a huge privilege to be on the show.
Thanks so much, Chris. Enjoy Derby Day in Kentucky.
Yeah, have a great time.
Thanks very much.
There he is, Chris Wallett, live from Churchill Downs. Absolutely unbelievable. Just minutes away from the start of the 2017 version of the Kentucky Derby. Yeah, very exciting, isn't it? Mm. Very exciting. So, big thank you. He can't.
Mint julep?
Oh, I had a couple, I think.
Did you like them?
Oh, have I had any? I thought you had Chris Wallett had some.
No, I must.
It's a minimum two.
Have you had a mint julep?
Never.
Oh, don't bother.
No?
Not a fan.
That and what's the other thing? Fried green tomatoes? Oh.
At the Whistle Stop Cafe. Oof. That was a movie, wasn't it? 1353 53 is the open line number. Let's get to callers now. Adrian is on the line. Hello, Adrian.
Hey, g'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray.
Good morning, Adrian.
Hey, with the city country. Actually, when I was 19, I got picked for country seconds, but I had to pull out with a rib cartilage injury, which was, I always wanted that Guernsey, but anyway, that's happened.
Sorry.
Jimmy, look, I played regularly to a reasonable level. You played to a higher level than what I did. What I found, a prop forward who essentially it was either incapable or refused to have second phase play, geez, you found them easy to defend against. You thought, you can run as hard as you want. Don't have to worry about you offloading the ball. You're not a threat. It brings me back to David Clemmer. Seriously. I mean, I don't understand when you've got someone like him and no one seems to want to, or he doesn't want to learn to play before the line, through the line, bring someone with him. I don't get it.
Well, I guess there's enough front rowers that play before the line and through the line.
He's
at the
Bulldogs.
He's got
a role for the team, hasn't he?
Yeah.
His role
so
is
Adrian, I'll take your point. You know, developing that part of your game is something that you should be doing in consultation with your coaches because you want to become more of a threat. But maybe they say, listen, Dave, you tuck the ball under your arm and you run hard. Mm. You get us meters because James Graham and Sam Cassiano can fill the role that you've
good
just described.
Mm. Yeah. You look at Martin DePauw, he's been unbelievable for Manly. Then I look at Tim Lathire, he's just turned into an offloading machine. I don't know. So someone's got it easy, obviously Paul McGregor. And it's just made Tim Lathire twice the player. Michael Ennis.
Just on that, Adrian, yeah, it's interesting with offloads, and not all offloads are created equal, if you know what I mean. Some offloads are good, some offloads are bad.
The Melbourne Storm,
you could argue, been the best side, most consistent side in the last 10 years. Watch how many times they
offload.
Very few. You know what their forwards do? They get forward, they make sure they land on their belly, they get up quickly, and they play the ball.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. But then you've got Kronk, you've got Slater, you've got Cameron Smith, who offer different, things in the team, and you've got, Vunivalu, Adokosta. It's a bit different when you've got those outstanding players in those positions, but you can't tell me that a front rower, if he had that in him, would be twice the player. And for that reason, I cannot pick David Clemmer in a representative team. I can't.
Okay, all right. Well, it looks like Aidan Tolman has been relieved of his duties as weekly punching bag for Adrian, and now David Clemmer.
He's got a role, hasn't he? Clemmer's got a role in the teams he plays for. He does that role well.
Yes.
And he's playing to his coach's instructions, no doubt.
And that's exactly it. And as I say, not all offloads are created equal. Mm. Some are good, some are bad. 1353 53, the open line number. Dougie's here. Hello, Doug.
Hello, Jimmy. Hello, Ray. How are you?
Good
really
morning,
well,
Doug.
Mate.
Yeah, Manslaw and MLK, a couple I was going to say. Manslaw, when's he coming back to... When's he going to come back and play?
A month off, any Jim,
He'd probably be around a month. I think there was speculation that he might be right come second Origin game. But last I spoke to him, he was back doing some straight running. And then, of course, he's got to get to that sideways stepping and so forth.
Henry's another player too, the big forward, Kiwi forward.
Who is
McKendry.
It?
McKendry. McKendry.
Yeah. McKendry.
Yeah.
I thought he was a season.
I think he's gone. Yeah.
I thought he was a season. I'll check that.
Yeah, he's gone.
I'll check that, but we'll keep you updated on that one, Dougie.
and the Invergo Cup, I think that's the thing. I'll never see that anymore.
No, I love the MCO Cup.
How good was it? Back in
tremendous.
The day. We're just looking it up here because we've had Don from Carlton. Someone's obviously written out an SMS for Don. Thanks for the call, Dougie. Someone's written out an SMS for Don. I'm barely literate, Don. and he talked about the KB Cup.
I've forgotten that.
Now, see, it was all it was the Tooth Cup, the KB Cup,
the National Panasonic Cup,
and the Panasonic Cup after
that's
the AMCO
right,
Cup.
Yeah.
So they all had the different naming rights.
The National Panasonic Cup. Tooth Cup.
Tooth Cup.
Another
and the
one
KB
from
Cup.
Don from Carlton, too.
Oh, someone's written out another one for him.
Oh, come on. The Custom Credit Australian Indoor Tennis Championships. Remember that on Channel 10?
Yeah.
Used to sit up late on a Friday night and watch the games live.
No.
Before your time, you might be
might have been a little bit before my
mid 70s, you know. Rose
no,
was
that's
still
way
playing. Jimmy Connors was coming down under to play them occasionally.
Of course,
know.
You and Rose will have something in common, don't you? Used to serve left-handed and then play right.
Other way around.
Is it?
Yeah.
Serve right, play left.
Yeah.
Right. And the reports are that he took it from you.
Oh,
no truth to that at this point. Morning Rain, Jimmy, sporting event that used to happen. Match of the day! At 3 p.m. on the Saturday at the SCG.
That brings back memories.
Sitting in the Sheridan stand watching the Dragons each week, watching three grades as well. Changa, Pop Clay and Billy Smith. Best of times. That's Tony from Naruma. That's a good one. Good on you, Tony. We appreciate that. Keep those SMS coming in if you want to send one. 0419-SMS-BSB. That's 0419-767-272.
Hello, I'm Yanta Lee. Mother's Day is nearly here. If you're very busy like my son, Lionel, maybe you haven't had time to give something for your mother. Well, there's lots of gift ideas at Bing Lee. And look for the pink prize tickets. That means you'll get a great deal. And you could win $1,000 shopping spree at Bing Lee. So, kids, if you're listening, there's still time to make your mom very happy. Lionel, are you listening? I'm Yanda Lee. Happy Mother's Day.
For full details of terms and conditions, see binglee.com.au.
International Racing at its very best. 7 days a week
across the Sky Racing Network.
Breezy, mate, you're looking good. What have you been up to?
Just been shaking it.
Shaking it?
Man, shaking it. See, Murph, you can lose the beer gut without losing all the beers.
I'll drink to that.
Buy 3 weeks' worth of the Man Shake and I'll throw in an extra week for free. So buy now at themanshake.com.au.
Back it comes to
listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Very good work, panel operator Hamish there, getting a play on that featured David Clemmer of the Bulldogs passing the football. That one's for you, Adrian.
Very well done, Hamish. Jimmy, your favourite part of the show, race replays, is a couple of ones to highlight.
It's Jeremy's favourite part now, too.
Is it? Producer Jeremy?
At least so, yeah. Producer Jeremy.
Is this segment under pressure? Also, I rephrase that. Is this show under pressure?
I was going to say we're all under pressure, oh, right?
Yeah. We'll go straight. The Lord Mayor's Cup yesterday, Jim.
Yes.
I thought top of my list would find it tough, coming up 4.5 kilos.
4.5 was the kilo.
A heavy track win in the JRA plate. Onto a good track. She was just too good again.
Jack straightens in front of top of my list. It goes to it quickly. New Tipperary being shoved along. Jesse Bell trying to squeeze through. Big Blues running on. So's Allergic. New Tipperary's in some trouble. Top of my list has dashed away at the 150. Top of my list clear from Allergic. Coming home hard on the outside. Top of my list in front from Allergic. Top of my list right up on the speed. Allergic can't get there. Top of my list. Top of my list. Top ride by Top Cat. Beat Allergic and Jesse Bell third. Not sure about four.
There we go. We're trying to work out where top of my list might head. So she's in the market for the Doomben Cup and is currently a $13 chance, leading or heading that market. It's somewhat at $3.50. What was the other option you thought, maybe?
The Brisbane Cup is the primary option. Whether she's a wait-for-age horse just yet, Jim, for a race like the Doomben Cup, probably not so. But the Brisbane Cup handicap, 2,400 metres.
Okay.
She gets in light. She'll be a tremendous chance. Deanne Pena's back in the Saturday winners list on Untamed Diamond.
straight. It's Sweet Serendipity in front from Untamed Diamond. Then Yuma Desert from Raisin's coming off heels. Further back to Lucky Fish. Balmain Boy the inside. Untamed Diamond beat off Sweet Serendipity. Then came Raisin's, but Untamed Diamond's drawn to the front from Raisin's. Thrill Seeking White out running on, but Untamed Diamond clear from Thrill Seeking the outside. Untamed Diamond up on the speed too good. Goes on to beat Thrill Seeking. Knit and Pearl Nick third, just on the line in front of Raisin.
The Toyota Material Handling Untamed Diamond, $5.50 there, as you mentioned, for Deanne Pena. And she hardly moved on the horse till about the 200 metre mark.
And another horse that translated that wet track form onto the dry. Some horses didn't yesterday, but there's a couple who certainly did. You mentioned it somewhat earlier, the Doncaster Mile winner, his favourite for the Doomben Cup. This is why he wins the Hollandale Stakes.
350 metres left to go. Single goes on the outside of it somewhat, the first couple. Morris going to third, Preferment the next one. Saki Soldier down the outside. It's somewhat single gaze, Morris. It's somewhat single gaze and Morris. It's somewhat single gaze. Single gaze, it's somewhat lifting. It's somewhat won the Hollandale ahead to single gaze. Third, Morris. Not sure, fourth out wide, sense of occasion.
There you go. So favourite in the market, as we mentioned, for the Doomben Cup. It's somewhat $3.50 there. Good performance. Was that Huey Bowman?
Ty England.
Look,
a Dolphin.
So. Huey Bowman had three winners on the Gold Coast, didn't he?
He did, and just missed on Nancy. He had a big day, Hugh. Could have had four stakes winners. Two group ones in Adelaide yesterday, Jim. The Carnival up and running over there. This is something to behold. Egg Tart looked to be in a terrible position on the home turn.
After the turn where Tiffany's Last Giving a Sight led the way, Sebring Dream was second, then Toffee Nose, Sort of Light, deeper out was With a Bit of Dash, Harlow Gold coming wide with Pretty Punk, Canedna's trying to get through with Egg Tart, Tiffany's Last led, Sebring Dream, Sort of Light going for a run, Canedna getting up on the fence, Egg Tart's run up behind them, Tiffany's Last led, Canedna getting up on the fence, Sebring Dream, Egg Tart joins in, Canedna up on the fence, Egg Tart wider and a Royale late. Canedna, Egg Tart. Kieran McAvoy wins the Oaks. Egg Tart nailed Canedna. Third home was Anna Royale. Behind those...
Could barely split them in that. I tell you what, there was... you know my mate, the Guff, at Tips, and he was very strong on Egg Tart. And at about 200 out from home, I thought, I think everyone had a bit of go at Egg Tart. Now, unsurprisingly, given... Canedna, hard to split with Egg Tart there. The Queensland Oaks, you look at that. Dawn Wall, you mentioned with talking with Chris Waller there. Dawn Wall, $5. Egg Tart, $5. Canedna, $5 as well. Then you get out to Anna Royale at $13.
Yeah, and, of course, Chris did confirm to us that Egg Tart will be going to Queensland and take on Dawn Wall. So they look through to beat. Brent Thompson sent a tweet out last, one of the all-time great jockeys. And said you'll go a long, long way to see a better Group 1 ride than that of Kieran McAvoy's on Egg Tart.
Is that right?
Yeah, Brent Thompson's tweet. It's one of the all-time greats. So that says it all. Was a great ride from a man who's been in form all season, Kieran McAvoy.
How many Group 1s for him this?
That's seven, I think. Yeah, I'll check on that while we listen to Secret Agenda win the Sangster Stakes.
Secret Agenda led. Leads from Super Cash. Shy Delby inside. I Am a Star. Then Egyptian Simil and Vidora. It's still Secret Agenda in front. Secret Agenda. It booted away for Oliver. Secret Agenda in front. Leads the way. Trying hard. I Am a Star. Egyptian Simil Vidora. But it's Secret Agenda. Secret Agenda wins the UBET Classic. Vidora second. Third, I Am a Star. Next.
Where do we expect Secret Agenda to pop up, Raymond?
That might be it for her, because she also raced in the Sydney Carnival. Seven Group 1s for Kieran, including, of course, that Melbourne Cup on our Mandan.
Who's on top of that?
Huey Bowman with 11.
11?
Amazing.
Wow. Well, mate, that's race replays. They're done and dusted. Oh, hang on. Else wants to have a say? Is there more? Hang on. Wait. Morning, boys. Events that used to happen. Random star golfers playing skins for cash. Mm. That's from Magic Mike. Yeah, they don't need the cash these days. There you go. Jimmy and Ray, speaking of sporting events that used to be, what about World Championship Wrestling and the roller game?
Yeah.
Kind regards, Greg from Yaguna. P.S. Jimmy, I missed you at the return to Libcom yesterday. I didn't know it was on, Greg. Disappointing.
This one from Handyman from French's Forest. A competitive French rugby league team. Back in the 1950s, I think. I think Pure Bear. Yes, that's it.
Yeah. So the French the French government outlawed rugby league.
Did they really?
Oh, yeah.
When did they do that?
After World War II, they felt that the Vichy government, There was it was a game that was suppressed within the country.
So the 51-52 team at Tour d'Australia were the comeback
side. That's the last of them.
Well, they did beat us in 73, don't forget. 2-0 on the Kangaroo Tour.
Did they?
They certainly did.
Is that when the Frenchman ran outside the sideline?
The penalty count was like 28-1 or something. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. Morning, Ray and Jimmy. You guys were doing so well first up this morning, and then you let Adrian on. Talk about going from the penthouse to the outhouse. No name on that one. But we concur with your sentiments. 1353 53 is the overline number. We'll take a break and we'll be back with more.
No one loves soccer more than Tab. We love the big tackles, the biggest celebration, and of course we love the heart-stopping goals. And we even love the refs.
Oh, come on, ref!
Well, most of the time. Yet our love for soccer is in a league of its own, just like our great soccer offers. Yeah. Check out our great end-of-season soccer offers on your Tab app. At tab.com.au or at your local. Tab, we love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
Run into Penrith Mazda for an amazing end of financial year deal on a new Mazda. Penrith Mazda has over 300 new cars in stock and over 50 utes on display in our Mazda Youth Centre, which means at Penrith Mazda, you get the best selection and the best prices on a new Mazda. So come in and see the Mazda specialist. But hurry in before our amazing run-out deals run out. Penrith Mazda, 2016 Mazda Master Dealer. Family owned and operated. Mulgoa Road, Penrith, just off the M4. MD18808.
Two outstanding sales, one great location. Dome is the HTBA Scone Yearling Sale, May 14 and 15, followed by the Scone Weanling and Thoroughbred Sale, also May 15, both at White Park Scone. Visit inglis.com.au.
The Big Sports Breakfast. Sports Breakfast.
Kangaroos love Trent Merrin says he wasn't too sure he deserved selection.
Yeah, I was really honest with myself when I was asked those questions. In saying that, I was honest to myself, and doesn't take away the fact that I have worked really hard over the years to put myself in a position like this. I don't think seven games cancels out all that. I know what I'm capable of doing. I deserve this jersey, and I'll be wearing it before I come tomorrow night.
The Big Sports Breakfast with TK and Slats, 5:30 weekdays on Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing 1. Brought to you by USG Borrell, Penrith Mazda, TAB and Volkswagen Amarok.
Choice with the outswinger, and it's gone in. Jackson Irvine. He nearly scored in Tehran. He has scored in Sydney. The first international goal for the young midfielder.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. Jimmy, I did check. It was a 78 Kangaroo
78
Tour.
78 Kangaroo Tour, was it?
The French Beast. We had a great team. Edie, Boosted, Rogers, Cronin, Fulton. What a back line. Craig Young in the forwards, Rod Reddy.
Mm-hmm.
The French won the first test 13-10.
Right.
And then beat us 11-10 in the second test. Now, it's the last time Australia lost successive tests and a series until the 2005 Tri-Nations. So, there you go. 78 Kangaroo Tour.
78 Kangaroo Tour, right. No.
Anyway, back on to racing, because this man had a terrific day yesterday. He's been riding in great form all season. Tim Clark's been good enough to join us bright early on a Sunday morning. Tim, good morning. Congratulations. And firstly, top of my list, Tim, I thought maybe she'd struggle translating that wet track form from the JRA plate onto a good track yesterday, up 4.5 kilos. She just won again. She was too good. Tim, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, fellas. Yeah, look, she obviously got all the favours at Randwick when she won the JRO plate, but yeah, I didn't think there was sort of any fluke in the effort, and I think yesterday showed that. You know, she's just she's sort of mare. She's found her form now, and she's appreciating getting out over the longer journeys. And Anthony and Edward have got her in great form, and she's holding that now.
And did she feel the added weight? Because that was another question mark for punters as well, Tim.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, she's a big, strong mare, and I was confident that she was going to be able to carry the extra weight. And look at the way the mat was, it looked like she was going to get a really, really nice run again yesterday, like she did in the JRA plate. So I was confident that she could go back to back.
Yeah. Well, she's probably headed now towards potentially a Brisbane Cup start, Timmy. And another mare you rode yesterday who I thought was outstanding winning was Bonnie O'Reilly. Yeah. And she's got some, there's some big race plans in mind for her. But, gee, I thought she was very game getting through that. What was a narrow opening, Tim, and then finding a way to win?
Yeah, exactly. She, that was the first time I've had the chance to ride her, and she really impressed me. She travelled like the winner a long way from home, and she obviously needed a little bit of luck at the top of the straight. She had to sort of give one a bit of a bump to get out of the way, and then while she was doing that, Breton was able to get the momentum up on his horse and got a bit of a margin on me. Really impressed with how she knuckled down the last 200, and really wanted to stick her head out and win for me. So that's always a good sign when they can overcome a little bit of trouble and still sort of pick themselves up and go on and win.
Did you know how fast finishing Machine Gun Jubs was? Could you see that horse out of the corner of your eye, Timmy?
I couldn't at all. Yeah. Actually, I obviously knew I'd won, and I was when I come back, I was still sort of the second number hadn't come up. And I was a bit surprised. I didn't actually see where Machine Gun Jumps was. Mm-hmm. I thought Breton had finished second. So it was definitely had the flashing light on Machine Gun Jumps.
Mm. Third winner was Canny Essent, and this is another one of these horses that were just looking for good going. I think the win in Bendigo was on the good three, and then the sixth at Randwick on the heavy eight. So was that a case of just finding the right conditions, Tim?
A little bit, and obviously helped by a good barrier yesterday. When he ran at Randwick, he drew wide, and Huey had to take him back to get in to get cover, and had to make a long run on him, and his run was full of merit. I thought that day, yesterday he drew barrier one and were able to take up a more forward position, and that just made the difference. You know, he didn't have too much work to do, and he's always a horse. He's always been a horse that has promised a little bit since day one, since he first started racing up here with Gabriel, and he's slowly starting to put it all together now. And I think that win, and he's had a good prep so far. So the few wins that he's had, it's just going to help him build his confidence. And he's going through his grades nicely. He's probably another one that a stakes race probably isn't too far away from his grasp.
Yeah, three horses we can all follow, Timmy. There's never a quiet time in racing, is there? And we're off to Scone for 2-day carnival this Friday and Saturday. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, I am. It's actually been a really good carnival for me for the last couple of years. So looking forward to getting up there. It's a great track, and it's really good racing for the 2 days. Mm-hmm. And it's good to get it back out into the country, and these carnivals I enjoy getting to. And there's sort of none bigger than Scone. They've done a terrific job in building it up to what it is, and it's you get to a track too where it's such a big run in and a spacious track, and everything gets their chance. So it's very enjoyable.
Fantastic, Timmy. Well done yesterday. Good luck with Scone as well, and we really appreciate your time early on a Sunday.
Beauty, guys. No worries. Thanks very much.
Thanks so much.
There he is, Timmy Clark. Three winners yesterday at Rosehill Gardens. Just on that Scone, we've got double passes to give away.
Both days, Friday and Saturday.
Both days, that's right. So call now and you can win for yourself a double pass if you can name one of Timmy Clark's winners from yesterday.
Well,
Timmy Clark's winners from yesterday. Now, what we don't have...
What number? 1353 53.
What we don't have is a double pass to Churchill Downs Ray.
Can this man help us?
I believe he can. Greg Radley is live from the Kentucky Derby, live from Churchill Downs. He's joining us now. G'day, Greg.
Jimmy and Ray, good afternoon, good evening, good morning.
How you doing? Is this your first trip to the Derby, Greg?
The story is I've been to Kentucky twice, but I've never been to a Derby.
Yep.
And I think there's about 150,000 people here.
Gee.
if they said there was more, I wouldn't argue. We've had a fair bit of rain. It's rained for the last 3 days. Yesterday, they ran the Kentucky Oaks, and the China Horse Club won the Kentucky Oaks at Abel Tasman on a very sloppy track. Mm. It started to drop out earlier this morning and into the afternoon, and then a rain shower came about an hour ago. So once again, we've got a sheet of water across the track. We've had plenty of turf races, probably half and half, half turf, half dirt. And it's hard to work out a pattern at this stage, whether they're coming from behind or, or leading. We have seen horses leading on the dirt course in a couple of races, but look, it's probably the best horse who wins so far today.
Right.
It's an unbelievable atmosphere. We're about 100 metres past the winning post.
Okay.
I know where you are.
You're there with the Ambassador Travel Team. How are they enjoying it? This is obviously the pinnacle of the whole tour, but and much to take in, but it's just almost a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, Greg.
It is. For most of these people, it's the bucket list tour.
Yep.
There's 27 on the tour, and they're having a great time. Mm. But it's a long day. The first race goes at 10:30. The last race goes at 8:10 p.m., and there are 14 races on the card. And the Derby is race 12, which comes up in about 50 minutes or so. We've just seen Harry Connick Jr. sing the national anthem.
Oh, wow.
And we're waiting for the rendition of My Kentucky Home,
that's it. Yeah.
Which everyone apparently sings, and it brings a tear to your eye. But there's plenty of mint juleps being consumed.
Well, Greg, you'd have to pace yourself, wouldn't you, Greg? Such a long day. You better pace yourself with those mint juleps, mate.
You've got to pace yourself, and I've had one sip of a mint julep.
Aren't they awful?
the guy who took us around the stud the last couple of days, he described it as bourbon with toothpaste.
I reckon it's about right.
It's not wrong.
It's horrendous.
Very good. Hey, Greg, you're going to have to give us and the listeners a tip.
Go McCracken. Got to go to your
side. Oh, go McCracken. Mm. Wayne Wilkes rang me about 9 months ago, and he said his brother has got a horse that can win the Derby. And all through the week, the reports are very, very positive. I'm just going to have a look over on the infield and try and find out what price he is now. He's 6-1, so he's $7 on the American tote. The favourite is always Dreaming at 9-2. So about, $5.50. And McCracken is second favourite.
Okay.
The favourites are Always Dreaming, McCracken, and the other one is Classic Empire. They're the three favourites. But we've got an Aussie trainer in Ian Wilkes who's been over here for 30 years as a trainer, and not many Australians would know him. His brother Wayne trains at Taree, and he's been here before. He's been here to the Derby twice. He was the track work rider for Unbridled when he won in 1990, and he was the assistant trainer for Street Sense in 2007, both trained by Carl Navska, who was a legendary trainer over here. So Ian has actually been to the Derby twice, so he knows what it takes. Mm. And although I've tried to convince all 27 to back McCracken, not everyone's with him, but there'll be a huge cheer go up from the 27 Australians if he does happen to win, because that would be, Ray, how many Australians have conquered America? Not many.
Sailor's Guide.
It would be a great performance by Ian Will.
Exactly. Thunder Snows by Helmet, who won a 2012
the big
Caulfield Guineas. Yeah, that's a horse for Peter and Paul. So a pseudo-Australian connection there. Hey, look, Greg, enjoy Kentucky Derby. We spoke to Chris Waller earlier. He's having a great time over there. Love to be there with you guys, but enjoy it, and we'll give McCracken a cheer and the sentimental favourite, Patch.
Good on you, boys.
Thanks, Greg.
There he is, Greg Radley, live
Patch's
from
got the one eye.
Churchill. Patch has got the one eye. Mm. There you go.
Extraordinary, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just an amazing story. 1353 is the open line number. Time to say good morning for the first time to Tanya with the scratchings around New South Wales. Morning, Tan.
And a bit closer to home, indeed. Sapphire Coast and Kempsey Racing in New South Wales today, folks. We'll start with Sapphire Coast, where the weather is fine, the track a good 4, the rail is true, penetrometer 3.5, and just the 6 scratchings. Race 1 is clear. Out of race 2, take number 5, She Oak, number 5. to race 3, number 8, Tougher Than the Rest, 9, Yandina Road, 12, Lady Conjurer, and 18, Mermaid, 8, 9, 12, and 18. Race 4, take out 6, Lemming, number 6 from race 4, and 5, 6, and 7 are clear. Tecumseh, the weather is fine, the track a good 3, the rail is true, and 14 scratchings. Race 1, number 10, More Happy Days, 14, Snugglebug, 15, Against the Clock, and 16, Nora Girl, 10, 14, 15, and 16. Race 2, number 12, Westover, and 14, Stanza, 12 and 14. Race 3, take out 3, Munjai, number 3. Race 4, take out 13, Thundering Heart, number 13. To race 5, number 5, Mashani Scout, and 10, Moreover Miss, 5 and 10. Race 6, 13, My Boy Louie, and 14, Jurassic, 13 and 14. And race 7, take out 1, Moonlight Waltz, and 6, Guided, 1 and 6. Out of race 7, at Kempsey.
Thanks, Tan. Tan, how good was Churchill Downs when we went through that?
Fantastic,
just
yeah.
History of it and all the...
I know.
Was there a race day? There was a race day.
All of the Triple Crown winners that are posted their names up around the grandstand area.
And the ones that won the Triple Crown... No, all the Derby winners.
Yeah, and the Triple Crown winners
are
in
different colour.
In gold.
Oh,
in gold.
Right. Fantastic. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's great. The statues.
Well, secretary at the front. And
yeah.
Just bring it. A couple of tips today.
Oh, hang on. Stand by.
Sapphire Coast, race 2, number 4, Old Texture. Go, you good thing.
Yes.
Down to race 5, number 1, Diefield.
Okay.
Ran second to schedule of the day. Very hard to beat.
Right.
So. And then over at Kempsey, race 2, number 9, Lady Ivia.
Number 9, Lady Ivia. Okay, Ray Thomas's tips on a Sunday are going gangbusters, so make sure you check that out as well. Call now to 1353 53 if you'd like a double pass to Scone, Friday and or Saturday. Just give us one of the winners that Timmy Clark had yesterday at Rose Hill Garden. Back with more, including Peter Peters, after the news.
I'm Kim Cartwright. The Cronulla Sharks are in damage control with Chairman Damien Keogh standing down over drug allegations. Keogh, 55, handed in his resignation yesterday after he was allegedly found at an inner Sydney venue the previous night with a small resealable bag containing what's thought to be cocaine. Sharks Chief Executive Lyle Gorman was forced to deny the club has a drug problem. It was more bad news for the NRL after 3 players were also allegedly caught with cocaine on Friday, including Sydney Roosters star Sean Kenny-Dowell, who's been charged with drug possession. A man has been stabbed in the head after confronting a teenager who allegedly tried to steal his car in Sydney's West. Police say the stabbing happened at Green Valley in the early hours of this morning. Paramedics treated a 47-year-old man at the scene for stab wounds to his head before taking him to Liverpool Hospital, where he remains in a stable condition. A police dog helped officers locate a teenage male nearby, and he is assisting police with their inquiries. Meanwhile, a Melbourne man is expected to face court today after allegedly stabbing 3 people, including a man left fighting for life. The 24-year-old Clayton South man was tasered by police after a brief standoff during which he threatened self-harm yesterday morning at Doveton. He's been charged with 29 offences, including aggravated burglary, intentionally and recklessly causing serious injury, and false imprisonment. After being re-elected president of the Australian Olympic Committee, John Coates admits the bitter campaign for leadership has tarnished the organisation's brand. Mr Coates defeated his challenger, 58 votes to 35, and says it's time to move forward.
Things are said and done in an election campaign. That's what this clearly has been. My position is that we just move on. I'm not going back over what happened in this campaign and what I might have said, what others said about me. That's over.
Police are warning football fans not to get out of hand at today's A-League Grand Final, saying that violence and hoodlum behaviour will not be tolerated. Sergeant Dave Rose from Police Headquarters told Macquarie Radio that officers will be out in force to ensure the safety of all enjoying the match between Sydney FC and Melbourne Victory.
Police have worked closely with stakeholders in the lead-up to the Grand Final and will continue that work throughout the event to identify and target troublemakers, people engaging in antisocial behaviour and people whose actions put others at risk.
Overseas, thousands of women in cities across Venezuela have taken to the streets in protests against the current government. Earlier marches turned violent and saw the deaths of at least 36 people. The BBC's Leonard de Rocha reports.
The protesters are trying to march on the headquarters of Venezuela's armed forces in central Caracas. wearing predominantly white, many are carrying signs calling on the government to end the repression of the street protests. Underground stations have been closed and bus services suspended in many parts of the Venezuelan capital as a precaution. Thousands of supporters of President Nicolas Maduro are holding a rival march in the city center. The unrest, which follows a deepening economic crisis, was triggered by a Supreme Court attempt to seize powers from the opposition-controlled National Assembly in March.
Also in news, as many as 50 schoolgirls have been released by Boko Haram militants in Nigeria after more than 3 years in captivity. The girls were among 220 students abducted from a school in Chibok in 2014. 195 young women are still missing. This is AIR News. A year after masterminding one of the great race strategies, Ford engineer Ludo Lacroix has done it again at the Perth Supercars Round, completely by accident. DJR Team Penske Scott McLaughlin admitted the crucial pit stop that sealed his maiden 2017 race win in Perth's 120-kilometre opener yesterday was the result of miscommunication with the thickly accented Frenchman. "I thought he said pit, but it turned out he actually said push," McLaughlin admitted. In boxing, Joseph Parker has retained his WBO heavyweight title in his last fight on home soil with a unanimous points victory over Hungarian Razvan Kojanu. The Kiwi big man has been lured away by the big money of fights in the UK, but thanked his fans in New Zealand for all their support.
"I've done my best to keep a fight here in New Zealand. I guess it's time for us now to move overseas and get some exposure overseas. But without all the support of people here and people back home, we wouldn't be here today."
Audio from Sky. Hamstring soreness for North Melbourne midfielder Taylor Garner opened the door for young Kangaroo Corey Wagner to play his first game of the AFL season. Called into the side as Garner's replacement ahead of yesterday's 59-point thrashing of the Adelaide Crows, Wagner's luck was short-lived. The 20-year-old left Bellreef Oval in the 14th minute and did not return and will now face a series of ankle scans before knowing what his recovery will entail. Final score, 22-13-145 North Melbourne to 13-8-86 Adelaide. Also in sport, wins for the Vixens and Lightning in the netball and PNG, Tonga and England in rugby league. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Pinot Noir. By De Bortley, of course. Here's the traffic.
Stuck in peak hour? Don't drive yourself mad. Construction across the transport network means there will be a lot more trucks on the road. Get the big picture at mysydney.nsw.gov.au. If you're off to the airport, give yourself some extra time. It's heavy on Marsh Street and Airport Drive approaching the international terminal. The M5 East 2 northbound, pretty heavy from Barton Park to Marsh Street. Elsewhere, we've got a good flow north to the Central Coast on the M1 and south out of the city on Princes Highway. The NDIS is here. If you currently receive disability supports from the New South Wales government, it's time to take charge of your future today. Search NDIS NSW. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sunny with winds light and variable, becoming southwesterly 15 to 25 kilometres an hour during the morning and then southeasterly 15 to 20 kilometres in the afternoon. Sunny day, 0% chance of rain and a maximum of 21. That adds up to a very nice autumn day, doesn't
Loving that 0% chance of rain.
Yeah. Now, what about a Ku-ring-gai? And let's head north to Kempsey. Yep.
Ku-ring-gai currently 13 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
It's warming up okay. They say a top of 19, but okay. Anyway, hope we get warmer. Up at Kempsey, the races run at Kempsey today, currently 12 degrees. How about this? Partly cloudy, a balmy 26 at Kempsey today.
Beautiful.
May is 5% extra discount month at astivita.com.au. That's a further 5% off the already discounted prices of up to 70% off on wall and freestanding ovens, appliance packages, cooktops, sinks, tapware, vanities, toilet suites, basins, baths and fridges. 2-year warranty, over 50 service locations, with free delivery to most areas. This May, use the code RADIO for your extra 5% discount at astivita.com.au.
This truly magical thoroughbred Able Friend going to win the Champions Bowl in an absolute hand canter. That's the Wild West.
Hong Kong, Singapore, Japan, Korea.
The best of Asian racing.
Live and exclusive to Sky Racing.
Breezy, mate, you're looking good. What have you been up to?
Just been shaking it.
Shaking it?
Man shaking it. See, Murph, you can lose the beer gut without losing all the beers.
I'll drink to that.
Buy 3 weeks' worth of the Man Shake, and I'll throw in an extra week for free. So buy now at themanshake.com.au.
Oh, he's got 100. The reaction will tell you all. It means a lot to him. Showing the world how to go.
fired.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the second hour of the program. Big hour coming up as well. Zorba very shortly. Deanne Pannier will have a chat with her. She's back in the winner's circle. Phil Moss will be in. We'll have the Kentucky Derby from 8:46. We believe. There or thereabouts, Raymond.
What odds that?
Yeah. What well, that's right. It's paying about $17 to actually jump at 8:46. And then ZNZ. Look, what we'd best describe this hour is as a movable feast.
Isn't the whole show like that?
Yeah, don't give too many people too many ideas, Raymond. We might be relatively removed. A removable feast.
It
might be.
Shows under pressure.
Shows under pressure. Anyway, I'll tell you what's also under pressure, in fact, extreme pressure, because there's not going to be another one, and that is the City Country game. It's the last one today up there at Mudgee. We're asked our listeners to tell us about sporting events that used to happen that are no longer on. I'll tell you only recently, but sad but true, the Australian Golf Masters is a tradition that no longer continues. Regards, John from Moorbank. There you go. We've got a lot of those, so we'll get to those. But we've had a call from Steve Noyce from Classic Sportswear.
Good
and
man, Steve.
Provides the jerseys for the City and Country teams, as well as a number of clubs around the National Rugby League. They are giving away exclusively to this program to the listeners who have the best contribution, and we'll do a City one and a Country one, a Country jersey signed by Coach Craig Fitzgibbon and Captain Mitch Orbison, mm-hmm. and a City jersey signed by Captain Paul Gallen and Coach Brad Fittler.
Outstanding. These are absolutely historic. The very last.
Great collector's item. So thank you very much, Steve Noyce. Thank you, everyone at Classic Sportswear.
Thanks,
we do
Steve.
Appreciate it. So that's
Great
it. You've got to come in with your best contribution right up until 10 o'clock on the Big Sports Breakfast weekend. You can do it on that number, 13 53 53. Right now, though, time to speak, as we do every Sunday, to Peter Peters. G'day, Zorb.
Morning, boys.
I just want to go back to a point that was made last week, and before that, of course, that was well before Josh Duggan had his broken cheekbone, but go on, pump up the tyres of Dylan Walker, because I reckon he's going to go very close to playing right centre for New South Wales.
Well, it's strange, isn't it? I mean, we've got, as our coaches now, Mal Meninga, Kevin Walters and Laurie Daly, and they've all got different views on players. I'm hearing that Dylan's no certainty to get in that blue side, and you've really got to look at how the coaches think. I mean, there was Darius Boyd on Friday night playing for Australia at fullback. He'll be on the wing for Queensland with Billy Slater at the fullback, because that's where Kevin Walters wants him to play. So there's lots of different views on where players are going to play by these three coaches, who incidentally all came from the Canberra Raiders, and haven't they sort of done a great job in the coaching area when you look at, you put those three together with Maguire, Bellamy and Neil Henry. They've had an influence. But test match, I thought, Australia, terrific in the first half, 50 games for Cameron Smith. How good was that? I don't know about the mid-season Anzac Day test. 17 wins from 18 now for Australia. The Kiwis, really, they're just the Warriors with a few add-ons who catch the Warriors' disease and turn into mediocre players for a night.
I didn't think they were too bad, Zorba. I thought their kicking game let them down. If they got repeat sets in the first half and built more pressure, they could have really perhaps broken through and scored a try or two. And don't forget, one of the Australian tries intercept, two from a kick. So, and they won the second half 12-6, the Kiwis. I don't think they were that far off.
Well, it was 24-0 at half-time, right?
I know, but an intercept and two tries from kicks. I know, Jimmy
said
you can score
from kicks. As I said earlier, you're allowed to score tries from kicks, you know,
right? All I'm saying is if things had gone more, the Kiwi... Like, Taumalolo was over. Cooper Cronk's tackle around the ankle
was
unbelievable.
Tackle.
How did he stop that?
You're a nice guy, Ray. I'm not. You know, 24-0 at half-time, and then they got to 30-0 Australia, and then they started to think about other things, and those other things are not good in the game, are they?
No. Well, we'll get to that, Saul, but it's been a weekend to forget, really, hasn't it?
The shocking one, from my point of view, is, yes, Jesse Bromwich is disappointing and Kevin Proctor and Sean Kenny-Dowell, but Damien Keogh, I mean, that's...
They're all shocking, Jim.
That shocks me.
They're shocking.
It shocked everyone, I think. And I find it, look, it, when high player profiles and an official allegedly caught in possession of cocaine, for months now, the rumour mill's been rife about allegations of the high number of players using recreational drugs. On Wednesday, I discussed the issue with Channel 9's Danny Wilder, and the next day, he broke the Tinny Dowell bust. And 24 hours later, the Sharks team and Damien Keogh, and then yesterday, two Kiwi players at 5:10 a.m. From Friday's test. Where is,
what's going on?
The Kiwis have got a duty of care to the NRL clubs that loan them their players.
Absolutely.
And where is the management skill there and professionalism when players are out at 5:10 a.m. in Canberra, where if they're ever going to have surveillance put on you, it's going to be there where they've got cameras everywhere. 4 in 2 days from our game shows how widespread the problem is. And I don't want to say it's a social issue and not the game. I think that's a bit of a cop-out. I just wonder how Benny Barber feels now when the chairman of the club that he was at, that he was forced out of the game, for exactly the same thing. Not good.
I think I heard Todd Greenberg say in an interview yesterday that up to 2,000 players are random drug tested every year. That seems a lot, but is it enough?
Well, look, the players obviously feel that they're not going to be tested in the couple of days that they're off.
Yeah.
And that's not a good excuse. I know it's a problem in society, but I just think we're going to have heavier penalties. And the players that do get caught mid-season pay a massive price for it. Otherwise, it's going to be rampant, which obviously it is at the moment.
From what I understand, cocaine out of the system within 72 hours. Marijuana stays in the system a lot longer. And as a result of that, when you get to, say, for example, Sean Kenny Dowley thinks, right, I've got a weekend off, so I'll run the risk. The thing that I think that the National Rugby League have to do here is target testing. And although they've only been named in court cases, I think Jesse Bromwich and Kevin Proctor should be tested immediately.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And look, it seems as though the police at the moment are knowing exactly who to look for. And the Damien Keogh one is one that we didn't expect, but when you see the vision of it, it's not good. And it's something the game can well do without. But let's get on to the footy, boys. I thought the test match Friday night, we've spoken about that. I thought yesterday was a lot of fun. Papua New Guinea 32, Cook Islands 22, Fiji and Tonga battled it out. Late try to Fiji, 26-24 to Tonga. And I thought England last night didn't look real crash hot to me in beating Samoa 30-10. And out of all that, what have we got? We've got Thurston out with a shoulder injury, probably out of Origin. Some suggestions that he might be out for the year. Put that on top of Scott and Inglis, and boy, here's a chance for New South Wales to win Origin. And, of course, the Dragons, they're going to go from leaders to maybe out of the eight in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
A heavy blow in rep games, and already losing Gareth Widdop and now Josh Dugan, who I thought was sensational on Friday night, still injured. And ironically, in a test match and playing against his own teammate, he's clashed with Russell Packer, and looks like he's out for anywhere between 2 to 6 weeks now.
Yeah, that's the price of these rep games. So City Country today, it's the last one. We'll talk about that in a second. But just back to Origin, does this match mean anything for Laurie Daly in terms of selections?
I think it will. I think there's some players in there. I mean, I don't think he's settled on a hooking spot yet. And, Damien Keogh's name... Damien Cook's name has been tossed up. Young Cameron McGuinness is going well.
Yes.
For the Dragons. I think there's players in there. Matt Moylan's playing. I think, he'll also have a not that he needs any more looks at some of the players in the sides, but I think definitely there are some players there. That Paul Vaughan's another one. I think he's a chance. I'm interested. Like, this game started in 1911, It's carried a lot of history, and I think we're losing a lot of historical value out of our game. As I said last week, it's worth more, I think, to the rugby league scene than the Nines. And with all due respect to the All Stars and All Stars Indigenous game, for me, City Country gives all of those players in those games the chance.
No, I totally agree with you about those players that you mentioned from a State of Origin point of view, because just as you mentioned at the top of your segment about coaches and different players, there are still plenty of spots up to grab for New South Wales, and form late and form in a rep game like that will count for quite a bit, I think, in the eyes of Laurie Daly. All right, mate. Now, just before we get to your Zappers, the Junior League yesterday at Leichhardt, I see that Newcastle got home against the Seagulls in an extra time thriller.
I think it was a good game. And full marks to the New South Wales Rugby League. I watched the games yesterday.
Streaming?
Just streaming.
Yeah.
And it was a fantastic coverage. Newcastle beat Manly 26-20. Manly led 20-16 with the last play of the game. And Newcastle scored in the corner. And, of course, there's no replay. I didn't know whether the kid went out or not, but the try was given. Danny Badiris' nephew missed the conversion attempt from the sideline, so it was a 20-all draw. They went into 5 minutes each way, extra time, and then they were going to go into golden point, but Newcastle scored in the first period of extra time and ultimately won the game 26-20. And Manly have never won the Matthew Shield, but very proud of those kids, and good luck to Newcastle and our young fella, Bradman Best. Manly handled Donnie pretty well. The SG ball went to Parramatta, 30-22. That's his nickname, Donnie.
Donnie, yeah,
it.
Fair
just
enough.
Has to be, yeah.
Unbelievable. But there was, I want to say this, one success for yesterday out of that game, probably one of the biggest successes for me, was in the commentary box for the New South Wales Rugby League. The former St George halfback, Matt Head, was a pleasure to listen to.
Yeah, right.
His analytical presentation was brilliant. His knowledge of the players was just superb. I don't know him. I've never heard him before, but he is a talent. I wouldn't hesitate to use him. I think he's a real future star in the media. He's got a heap of talent.
He was the 20s coach for the St George Illawarra side last year, and he did a little bit of stuff on ABC before that. So he has a little bit of experience. But, yeah, good with his comments. I agree. I agree. All right, hey, let's get a zapper out of you for today.
Well, I've had a good look at both the sides, and I just think this game will mean more to country than
yep.
it will to New South Wales. I mean, this is the end of the road for country. The City boys, I think they'll... I don't think it's the same feeling in this game for City towards country. So I'm going to go for country, and I think they'll cover the start. City won 44-30 last year. What great coaches they've got here for this game. Two icons for the game in the modern era. I love Brad Fittler and Craig Fitzgibbon. I love what they stand for in the game. They have a passion for the game. And they'll present their sides in terrific order today. And at a very good ground, which could be a ground used for NRL games in the future. I understand there's going to be a divvying up of clubs for each country area, and those city clubs will be responsible to promote and propagate the game in those particular areas, and there'll be rush on for certain areas because a lot of areas are still producing talented young players.
Great.
It's good news.
Yep, can't happen quickly enough. Zorb, there you go. -2.5 country. They're at $1.95, -2.5 for the final City Country match today. Good on you, mate. Enjoy your Sunday, and we'll speak next week.
Good on you, boys.
Thanks,
Zorb. There he is, Zorba, with his thoughts in the world of rugby league. We'll take your thoughts on the back of that, too. Is it a genuine trial for New South Wales? Mm. Well, it's the last of it. So if Laurie Daly is going to make some decisions, it'll be the last time he'll be doing it out of this City Country game. 13:53:53 is the open line number. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with Deanne Pannier.
Favourite ice cream?
Strawberry.
Species of cat?
More of a dog man.
Movie?
Easy. Die Hard. All of them.
Huh. Okay. Your favourite horse to win this weekend?
Oh, there's Wildfire. She's a great filly. Oh, and then there's
Black Truffle's the proven galloper, and he can't forget Suave Fella. He always powers home. I mean, that's like...
Can't choose between the horses you love? Bundle all the runners you love in the one price, and if any of them win, you win with Tab's Bundle Bet. Tab, we love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
If you buy a new washing machine at Bingley, we've got a surprise for you. We'll deliver your new washer free, we'll unbox it and unpack it free, we'll take away the packaging free, and Mum will take away your old washer free. So there's no messy trip to the tip for you.
I heard that, Lionel.
Okay, our delivery guys will. But it's only for a limited time, so be quick. Free full-service delivery from Bingley.
Excludes Asco and Miele. See in store or bingley.com.au for full details.
Sony Music gives you the hottest stars on the planet with the new Great Country Songbook Volume 2 from Adam Harvey and Becky Cole. Brad Paisley's Love and War. Willie Nelson's God's Problem Child. And introducing Ward Thomas's Cartwheels. All albums available now. These are the hottest stars on the planet.
Producer Jeremy's printed these live reads out on yellow paper today.
Quite impressive, isn't it?
So what? Usually they're green, and usually we read them green, don't we? So today,
green and gold. See,
reading them yellow.
Mm. That means
or gold. As
that means anything?
You'll be able to pick it up.
Okay. You know,
the trained ear will be able to pick it up, Ray.
Put the pressure right on yourself.
ZNZ Jewellers have been a Hurstville institution for over a quarter of a century. For more than 20 years, they've been the source of official NRL watches, rings, pendants and cufflinks. So if you want the official watch of your team or if your business needs corporate gifts of distinction, if you're looking for an engagement or a wedding ring, or if you want jewellery remodelled or repaired, see Alan and the team at ZNZ Westfield Hurstville or visit znz.com.au. ZEDNZED.com.au. Proud sponsors of the St. George Junior Referee.
Invaders coming hard on the outside. Invader quickly moves up, takes the lead in the shadows of the post, and Invader goes on to win the English Sires.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show, and it was good to see Deanne Pena back in the Saturday winners list yesterday, Jim, on Untamed Diamond. Of course, she had that terrible fall back in January when she dislocated or broke her left shoulder, but she's back in business and she's good enough to join us this morning. Deanne, good morning. Congratulations, firstly, on the win of Untamed Diamond. He's a horse who's in a rich vein of form. Good morning, Deanne.
Good morning. How are you?
Terrific. And he went well again, didn't he? He translated that form from the wet track onto the good track yesterday.
Yeah, she certainly did, and she seems to have come back stronger mare this time around.
Mm. And out of the gates really well too, which is, I guess, a key, Deanne, when you look at the gate that she had.
Yeah, she drew that outside barrier, and it really helped that she got away that well. But she usually can get away quite quickly, and it was handy to have her do that yesterday.
Because last time she was... I think she was three wide, wasn't she, for the trip? But this time, because she did ring the gate so well, that she was able to find a really good position, of course, which came back in the end to be so crucial.
Yeah, well, she's the sort of her past few runs, she's been sort of stuck three deep, just unlucky, and she's just had to be cuddled and looked after throughout the run. But this time we got our way, being able to cross and get close to the fence, so it worked out well.
Deanne, you missed just over 2 months with that fall at Rose Hill back in January. You hit the ground running at Goulburn first day back with a winner on Madison Avenue. Do you think that was on April 10? You've been back riding almost a month now. Do you think you're back in the groove now since that shoulder injury?
Yeah, getting there. I think not quite there with full fitness and full strength yet, mm-hmm. but I am getting close every time I go out to ride. And yeah, getting close.
Jockeys often talk about things like timing when they've been out for an extended period. Do you think your timing's back where it should be now?
Not 100%, right. No, but again, it's getting close, but not quite there how it was before the fall yet, but getting there. Mm-hmm.
What about confidence, Deanne? I think that's probably the most important thing.
Yeah, well, it was good to get the confidence back. With the winners I've been having earlier, so that helps a lot. The confidence is not too bad.
Mm. In your time convalescing, did you do much of your? I know you're painting,
drawing,
your acting, your skateboarding. Did you? I suppose skateboarding's going to rule that one out. But what about some of your painting? Did you do? Were you able to do more of that?
Yes, I was, because I had quite a large piece. They take a fair while to do. I had quite a large piece for Donna Grisdale I was doing of Skip Course, who passed away sort of last year, and I started it in January, and I had a lot of time to do that drawing. I think I spent between 20 to 30 hours, I suppose, on that drawing, and I had a lot of days where I was able to work on it.
Yeah, right.
And usually I sort of sit there, laid back, just drawing. I don't spend a lot of hours in one go. I spread the hours over a few weeks and months. So it was good to get that done.
Yeah, great.
Jimmy, I've seen some of Deanne's work. It is outstanding.
I've seen it online.
It's just amazing, the intricacies. Hey, Deanne, one of our listeners has just asked us to ask you, when will we see Deanne Pena right against her sister Beanie?
I don't know. Well, she's up in Queensland at the moment, and Hannah, I suppose I'm in Sydney. It would be really nice to ride against her. I know. Yeah, anything can happen. I mean, she's up there at the moment. She could come down. Might get going down here, or I could go up over there.
Yeah.
You know, through the carnival, depending on the opportunities.
Exactly.
So it just really varies. There's too many sort of ways it could happen.
Exactly.
But I would love to.
That's one thing about racing, it can take you all over the place. Look, Deanne, it was great to see you back in the Saturday winners' circle yesterday, and I know the Apprentices' Premiership is probably beyond the reach now, but it's still 3 months to go. You still claim two, and you never know what the rest of the season may hold. Thanks for joining us on a Sunday morning, Deanne.
All right, thanks for having me.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
There she's Deanne Pena. She had a winner yesterday with Untamed
of course,
Diamond.
She was sort of on top of the Apprentices' Premiership when she had that fall too. So
yeah, she was going so well. Yeah. I mean, we interviewed her a couple of times, didn't we?
That's the game, though.
Yeah, that is. Jimmy and Ray, the Wills Cup. This is at sporting events that
the
no
Wills
longer
Cup,
exist.
Yeah.
The Wills Cup, the Sydney to Melbourne Ultra Marathon.
Ah, Cliff Young.
Yeah, yeah. Cliffy Young. And Coolangatta Gold. Well, Coolangatta Gold's still on.
Yeah, still going. Yeah.
Yeah. A few more sporting events that no longer exist.
The Wills Cup was a pre-season comp, wasn't it?
It was the Wills Cup. I think Wills was a cigarette manufacturer.
Penrith won it first year in the comp, didn't they? 68.
Oh, mate, enough Penrith talk. Come on, mate. Let's go to a break and get Phil Moss in here. There you go.
May is 5% extra discount month at astivita.com.au. That's a further 5% off the already discounted prices of up to 70% off on wall and freestanding ovens, appliance packages, cooktops, sinks, tapware, vanities, toilet suites, basins, baths and fridges. 2-year warranty, over 50 service locations, with free delivery to most areas. This May, use the code RADIO for your extra 5% discount at astivita.com.au. astivita.com.au.
Your business needs a cash injection to grow, but the banks say no.
You need it nice and simple, and they still say no.
You don't want to hand over the deed to your house, so they keep saying no.
Turn the no's around and get on with it with OnDeck. Apply online in 10 minutes with just 3 bank statements, not a mountain of paperwork, and you're on your way with the cash flow you need. Visit ondeck.com.au.
OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. Loan subject to lender approval. OnDeck partners with MYOB.
All covered, all grounds, all beaten. Franco won the Champions Stakes and lived up to the fight.
International racing at its very best. 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network.
Most parents agree that junior sport is about kids getting exercise and having fun at the same time. But for some kids, that fun becomes a nightmare when they are put under constant pressure by parents and spectators. Yelling out instructions from the sidelines or banging on about what you think they did wrong can turn kids away from sport for good. I'm Caitlin Thwaites from the Australian Diamonds, and it's time to let kids be kids. Google Play by the Rules to find out more.
You're listening
to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Just some of the stats coming in from that test match on Friday. Clemmer made 3 passes versus New Zealand, same as Fifita and Trbojevic. Frizzell and Merrin, no passes. So that's from our official stats provider of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Thank you, Scott. And just goes back to the SMS that we had sent in. This is from Al in Deakin. I sent this to your Monday to Friday crew. I don't know why you guys criticise or ban callers like the Narc or Adrian. They present a view that's passionate and different. It's the callers that are different rather than those sprouting the same that make your show interesting. We don't want all clones of you guys.
We don't ban Adrian, do we?
No, that's the point. We let him on. We want to have those different points of view, even if they are wrong, like Adrian. Speaking of blokes with points of view that are wrong...
He does tend to labour the point, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, and that's I think that's the point. Yeah. That gets it. But Al, we encourage everyone to come on this program, even people like Phil Moss. Which leads us into our football segment.
Mate, it's great to be here. Despite Jimmy's intro, Ray, it's great to see you this morning.
Good morning, Phil. Big blue day, Phil. How are you feeling,
exactly,
mate?
Grand final, big blue. Does it get any better?
Oh, no,
it's the climax of the season, and there's so much interest around this game. I think, the fact that Sydney have won the premiership so convincingly, I think has brought a little bit more credibility to the premiership, because everyone knows... If they were to lose today, which is a distinct possibility on the day, anything can happen on grand final day, that they are still, it can't cost them the tag of being the best team this season, but it'll go down in history as Melbourne Victory winning the grand final.
Yeah. It reminds me of when Jack Gibson used to coach New South Wales, and he said every time Alan Langer got the ball, he got nervous. Every time Bess Arparish is going to be around the ball, he just knows how to score in the big games, does he? Is he the main danger for Sydney?
Look, you'd have to say yes, because every time he scores in a final, his team wins.
Right.
And he scores, I think he scored in the last six.
What a record.
Six big finals games that he's played in. But the key, I believe, from a tactical point of view, is cutting it off at the source. So don't let the delivery get there. And that is something that Sydney have been so good at this season, is defending in wide areas so the wide players can't get the cross into the box, making sure those two holding midfielders, Brillante and O'Neill, screen in front of their back two defenders, central defenders, so those balls can't be played into Barisha's feet where he's so wriggly and slimy in the box. He can turn on a sixpence and get his shot away. So that's something that Sydney have been so good at, and that's suffocating their opposition. And then in transition, when they win the ball, they are so swift.
There's such an air of confidence about this Sydney team, and rightly so, isn't it? To the point where I was seeing some interviews with Graham Arnold this week where he just said we're the best team, we're expecting to win, etc. And also to the point where he hasn't changed anything this week, like haven't gone into a camp, haven't gone into a hotel. He said we're treating this as just another game. There's a supreme air of confidence at Sydney FC, isn't there?
There is, Ray, and it smells a lot like 2013 when I was assisting Arnie at the Mariners, and we made the grand final that year, and from the very moment we stepped off that field that night qualifying for the grand final, everything was normal. He was so calm, and that just rubbed off on the players. And he said, look, you don't get to this position in the season without doing what you do and doing it well. And Sydney have done that better than any team in A-League history. So why would they change anything going to the grand final? He's called it round 29. Not going to understand the psychology behind that. But players know it's a grand final.
Yeah.
They know it's the last game of the season. And they have lived with that expectation all season because of the undefeated tag and then the points record and so on and so on. I've got no doubt that they'll handle the pressure of grand final day.
And I like what I've heard from Kevin Muscat too. He said our best football can beat Sydney.
Yeah.
So it's almost a challenge to his own players. You've got to play your best to win, but you can win.
That's right. And I think the cheerleader is coming on this show after me, Robbie Slater. I sent Robbie a text yesterday saying I think you should hold some cheerleading lessons. You can make good money from that. But
did he reply to that?
Yeah, he did. He rang me up. We had a good laugh about it. But look, it's been great theatre this week from both coaches. You know, Arnie doing what Arnie does, and you know, at the start of the week he made it about himself and how he rebirthed himself, I guess, as a coach. And Muskie's made it all about the players. And then as the week's gone on, he's turned it into a a Victoria v New South Wales thing and everyone's on Sydney's bandwagon and blah, blah, blah. That's the way Muskie... And then he's gone into the siege mentality.
Exactly,
which
yeah.
So you can see the theme as the weeks rolled on from Kevin Muscat. But, look, he used to play the game hard. Some people would say unfairly or dirty because he did have that tag. He's just a winner.
Mm.
He'll do whatever it takes to win. So that's
he's
how he's
yeah.
seen the week. So, that, look, they will come out very, very hard. Sydney need to match them physically and in the enthusiasm stakes, which isn't a problem in a grand final. Mm. But if they don't match them physically... then, you know, Melbourne Victory can get on top.
The pitch. A lot of talk
yeah.
about the pitch last week, again into today.
Rugby game last night.
Yeah, exactly. Graham Arnold said both teams have to play on it.
Yeah, that's right. And Sydney treated a poor surface last week with contempt.
They
really did. They played like they were on Wembley.
Mm.
And that's the key to a bad pitch. If your players are technically good enough, they can play on anything.
Correct.
So, yes, I'm a massive believer in the surface. It's everything for our code. But... you've got what you've got, so you've got to get on with it. And you can't use that as an excuse. But a couple of whispers out of the Victory camp, I think it was Rojas came out this week and said he's a bit concerned about the pitch. That would have been mana from heaven for the Sydney players to
right.
hear that
they're worried
a player
it's
of
on
that
their
quality,
minds, yeah.
That it's on their minds. And Roj, that's another key battle today, is Ninkovic v Rojas. They've both got 11 assists this season as number 10s, as creative midfielders. And that figure there tops the A-League.
Mm. Give us a score prediction.
3-1.
3-1. I'm presuming
Sydney FC.
Yeah, okay. $1.75 to win that match, Sydney FC.
I'll give you another tip.
$4.50. Hang on, I'll get you the 3-1 price. The 3-1 price is $12.
Oh, that's a good bet.
Sydney FC, $12.
Yeah, look, I think Victory have got the players to score a goal. Sydney FC, 17 clean sheets. They've only conceded 12 goals all season. But if there's one team that can break them down and get that chance and then take it, it is Melbourne Victory. And they've created a lot of chances this season against Sydney. They just haven't taken them.
Yep.
So they'll be confident from that to get that go-ahead goal. But I think Sydney FC will be too strong. Here's another tip. Milos Ninkovic, man of the match. Joe Marsden medal.
Had a season and a half,
I think
he?
He'll get the nod today. I think he'll just rise to the big occasion and come home with that Joe Marsden medal and in tribute to the great Joe Marsden, the Central Coast and Australian football legend.
Yeah, pioneer, wasn't he? First
he was.
Australian to play in the FA Cup final?
Yep.
With Sir Stanley Matthews. In one of his... because Sir Stanley Matthews passed away when I was in England and they went through and looked at his career. He played at... was he at Stoke?
He's still playing at 50, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah, he was a legend.
My father's absolute idol.
Was he? He used to just cross.
Yep.
Yeah, just... these magnificent
That's
crosses.
Very good.
Yeah.
Encyclopedic memory from you,
Jim
Smith.
There you go. Speaking of England, let's go to the EPL. A bit of a shock there for Spurs.
Yep, big weekend so far in the EPL. Spurs shock loss to West Ham. As you said, that puts Chelsea 4 points clear with a game in hand.
Mm.
You would imagine...
it's almost over, mate.
Well, the platter is in their hand, isn't it? It's theirs to drop. So, I can't see anything but a Chelsea... premiership win this season now. Man City jumped Liverpool. Mm. That hurts, Ray.
It does.
That hurts, and it's on goal difference because they knocked five
didn't
past
want to score five.
Crystal Palace. and that's a bit of a surprising result because Crystal Palace have been nuisance value the last five or six weeks against some of the bigger sides. So that was disappointing from our Liverpool fans' point of view. Swansea out of the relegation zone for the first time in six games. 1-0 win over Everton, which was a shock result. Now, Swansea have got survival in their own hands. They play Sunderland away and West Brom Albion at home.
They could get away with that
in their last two games. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Leicester. Remember, we all questioned Claudio Ranieri out.
I didn't.
We questioned whether it was the right decision the wrong decision, and we both agreed it was probably the right decision. On air, Craig Shakespeare has now won 5 out of 5 home games since he took over. They are now safe.
They're safe. Isn't that amazing?
They
what does
safe.
That mean to a club, Phil?
Oh,
in terms of financial dollars.
Look,
just
in terms of financial dollars, you're talking well over $150 million.
That's what it meant to stay in that top league, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they had to make a decision. Yep.
Quickly, we've got to fly, mate. Just give us a tip. Liverpool, well, we probably already know there. You actually tipped Arsenal during the week. I heard that.
Arsenal are part of my multi. My multi is Sydney to win and Arsenal to beat Manchester United. Jimmy, let me just quickly explain it. Give me here's the rider. They've got the second leg of the Europa semi-final this week at home. They've got 1 foot in the final.
Yes.
That's qualification for the Champions League if they get to the final and win it.
Right.
Jose Mourinho will put all his eggs in that basket this week.
Understand.
I'm telling. And the players, they can't help. But whoever takes that pitch and are in in contention to play in that second leg, mm-hmm. they will have one eye on that semi-final as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Arsenal to win.
Anyway, good luck today. Hope you enjoy today. It'll be a fantastic
game.
It's
going to be an unbelievable day out there at Allianz.
Absolutely. Good on you, Mossy.
Good on you.
Moss there with all the latest in the world of football. 1353 is the open line number. We've still got some time here before the Kentucky Derby is due to start. Let's go to Norm, who wants to talk about it. G'day, Norm.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Really well, mate.
I was over there in 2013. Friends of mine live in Louisville. So I stayed with them, and she works for Brown Forman as a senior vice president, so the place was always full of bourbon.
Yeah.
But you're dead set right about that mint julep.
Oh,
but, but you know, they mint julep and cigars, and even the women smoke stogies.
Yeah.
But I was lucky because after the Kentucky Derby, I continued to go to the races at Churchill Downs, and I got into the private box. There was only myself and my mate's mother that were going to the races, and we had the private box, Brown Foreman's private box all the time.
You were travelling all right, Norm.
Downs. It was great. But, you know, when they sing the old Kentucky Home, I mean, people just, you know, people are crying over there.
But when do they actually sing that, Norm? What time before the Derby?
As the
horses Derby
are going out to the track, everybody starts singing, or they start it up. But the funny thing, too, is that when I was over there, a horse called Orb won it, and it was like today, a wet track and everything. Mm-hmm. And all the owners and connections and everybody walks onto the track
in the mud.
From the back of the past the winning post all the way around. They're all in suits, and the women were dressed up, and they're knee-deep in mud. I got to say that Australia has got the best facilities and betting types. Over there, they only have win, place, and show. So if you want to have two, and the minimum bet's $2, so it costs you $6 to back a horse effectively each way.
Yeah.
The minimum bet on the exacta is $2.
Yep.
And then a trifecta and superfecta. And that's it for their racing. We have...
All right. Thanks very much, Norm. We're trying to move on to the next... because they're actually loading them in, Norm, so we have to get to the...
You're a bit worried, were you? You faded Norm out there.
Thank you, Norm. Mike. G'day, Mike. You want to talk about the A-League Grand Final?
Yes, right.
Yeah. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
Terrific, yeah. Who are you going for today, Mike?
Pardon?
Who are you going for today?
I'm going for Sydney FC. They've had a fantastic season. Fancy, going right through the season just with one loss.
Yep.
And that was against Western Sydney Wanderers.
Yeah.
But, I think they're going to be a bit too much for them for victory, particularly at home ground. But you never know. I've heard your early reports on the game a little earlier. And, you know, it could be a tight one. Hopefully, Sydney FC for sure.
Good on
I'm
you, Mike.
Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. We do. We appreciate that call. Good on you, mate. Let's hope the Sydney FC do win. Yeah, yeah.
It's a CD for Mike.
Oh,
sound of Nashville.
Touch fair, Dickham Ray Thomas.
Sound of Nashville.
Sound of Nashville. All right, coming out Mike's way. Should be the sound of Kentucky to Norm. He's probably still talking if you fade him up. Can we fade Norm up? He's still talking about the each way bet. Stockton Seagulls there. G'day, Stockton.
G'day, boys. You can't say the show's not informative. Dude, I've learned some lesson in here.
We cover a bit of ground, don't we?
Yeah. I'll just say that I like the test last night, mate, but I think they really, boys, they've loosened the regulation a bit too much. I mean, Maguire, Sabao, Tim to Fiji.
You and I could have got a game.
Well, hang on a minute. No, that's always been the case.
No, I'm not.
Oh, sorry.
I mean, Chris McQueen gets to start the play for England because he's got Queenie's name across.
Oh, that's...
I mean, fair dinkum.
Stockton Seagull, you know that's not right.
Well, Wayne Bennett, I mean, how do you get the start? I mean, is Bennett his last name, or is he a long-distance relation to Sir John Kerr?
He just wants to
think
check.
About it.
He just wants to go the
on.
Paycheck.
Come on, Stockton.
I think he might be a long-distance relation to Sir John Kerr, mate. That's his name better than Bennett.
Right.
Righto. Drugs in sport, boys. Very controversial at the moment.
Mm.
But when you think about it, I mean, they're not allowed to drink too much. I mean, I'm not condoning drugs, mind you. But, I mean, when they do, like you said, Kenny Dow gets a few days off. He lets his hair down, obviously, a bit too much. But you've got a bloke that was convicted of drugs who's now in a mall. You've got another bloke peddling the bloody milkshake, health shake things. I mean...
Well, it's Stockton Seagull. I'll start with that one. It's also on the banned list from a recreational point of view with a sport.
Andrew Johns, none of the stuff that he took was performance enhancing, and the Manshake is completely WADA compliant. Let's confirm that too. We'll take a break. We'll be back with the Kentucky Derby very shortly.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids' room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
No one loves soccer more than TAB. We love the big tackles, the biggest celebration, and of course we love the heart-stopping goals. And we even love the refs. Oh, come on, ref! Well, most of the time. Yep, our love for soccer is in a league of its own, just like our great soccer offers. Check out our great end-of-season soccer offers on your TAB app, at tab.com.au or at your local. TAB, we love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
I'm Yanta Lee. Mother's Day is nearly here. If you're very busy like my son Lano, maybe you haven't had time to give something for your mother. Well, there's lots of gift ideas at Bing Lee. And look for the pink price ticket. That means you'll get a great deal. And you could win $1,000 shopping spree at Bing Lee. So kids, if you're listening, there's still time to make your mom very happy. Lano, are you listening? I'm Yanta Lee. Happy Mother's Day.
For full details of terms and conditions, see binglee.com.au.
There's tough. And there's a new breed of tough. Introducing the new Amarok Core 4x4 from only $42,990 drive away. This impressive workhorse comes with a rigid ladder frame chassis, the largest tray in its class. And now with App Connect and rear view camera, it's a whole new breed of tough. Plus, for a limited time, it comes with free 8-speed auto. Offer ends June 30. Conditions at Volkswagen.com.au.
Freestanding clear at the 100. They're coming hell west and crooked, but it's freestanding for the Northern Rivers in front, and freestanding will win it.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And they are away in the Kentucky Derby.
With the twin spires above, the Derby Field races for that crucial first turn, and State Devonner is out to set the pace. Always Dreaming is going to race second and inside. Battle of Midway's up close, racing third. Irish War Cry's on the outside in fourth. Fast and Accurate is down inside fifth and nearly going. IRAP is running in sixth. Practical Joke over to the inside to be seventh. Gormley is eighth around the opening turn. Then it's Patch racing in ninth. Untrapped is tenth and toward the inside. Griven is mid-pack while 11th. Then it's McCracken running along in 12th. Classic Empire is 13th in the early going. Gunnavera is racing 14th to the back stretch run. Tappert is 15th. Looking at Lee is 16th. J-Boy's Echo is 17th. Sonneteer on the outside is second to last. And Hence is the early trailer. An intense opening half mile in 46 2/5 seconds. 5 furlongs to go in the Kentucky Derby. And Always Dreaming has moved outside of State of Honor and is putting in a bid for the lead with just a half mile to go in the Run for the Roses. Irish War Cry is poised on their outside. And Battle of Midway is right there, too, racing fourth and coming on through between horses. Farther back in the field, Gormley started to muster up a rally. Practical Joke goes by Fast and Accurate. McCracken's been released on the outside, and he's flying past horses up to be fourth on the far outside. Classic Empire is following him as they round the far turn in the 143rd Kentucky Derby. Always Dreaming is the leader. Battle of Midway fights on between horses. Irish War Cry is there on the outside. McCracken swings wide. Classic Empire does too. And looking at Lee, cut the corner off the turn. They're racing for the final furlong. Always Dreaming digging down deep on a 2-length lead. Looking at Lee wanders off the rail. Now with 3 lengths to make up and a 16th to go. But Always Dreaming is digging down, and Always Dreaming is holding on. Looking at Lee, can't catch Always Dreaming, who's the 143rd winner of the Kentucky Derby. Looking at Lee was second. Battle of Midway was third. Classic Empire, Practical Joke, and Tappert in a photo for fourth, fifth, and sixth.
Always Dreaming, wow, number five, in atrocious conditions, wasn't it? Mud everywhere. Always Dreaming, in the end, came into $4.80. $5.50 when we mentioned him a little bit earlier during the course of the program.
Led all the way, Jim, no mud on his jockey.
There you go. That's a fantastic effort. So well done Always Dreaming. Call now if you'd like to be a part of the quiz, 13:53:53. The quiz is still
score
on.
Score check?
Score check, 11-6 in my favour, 11-6. So
a couple of extra CDs to give away to them today as well.
Have we got a couple of extra CDs? Oh, yeah. We've still got those City Country games to give away, courtesy of Classic Sportswear, the jerseys. Mm-hmm. So make sure you make the contribution. But call now if you'd like to be a part of the quiz on 13:53:53. So there you go. It's Always Dreaming, number 5. Who was the pre-race favourite?
Todd Fletcher.
Fletcher, $4.80. $4.80, the winner over there in Churchill at Churchill Downs. So well done to the connections there. Now, Ray, we haven't worked out who's first or second here on the quiz.
Who's opening the batting?
I'll open the batting this time. Okay. And Roy is on the line from Gulgong. G'day, Roy.
G'day, Jimmy. How are you, man?
Really well, mate. You're heading out to Mudgee for the City Country?
Sure am, mate. Yeah.
Oh,
excellent. Fantastic. All right, let's get into this. Which team led the NRL in points scored after round 9? Was it the Seagulls, the Raiders, or the Dragons?
Dragon.
Yeah, nice. Smart. Well done. Which team was higher on the NRL ladder after round 9? Was it the Sharks, the Broncos, or the Roosters?
Sharks.
Solid.
Oh, good
solid
work,
Roy.
Excellent.
Here we go, Roy. This is a good one.
Roy, question 3. How many medal events will be contested in bobsleigh at the 2018 Winter Games in Pyeongchang? Is it 3, 4, or 5?
5.
Oh, I think it's obvious to everyone that it's 3, Roy. I can't believe you missed that one. But anyway, stay on the line, mate. Stay on the line. Over to you, Raymond.
Jason, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, terrific. Hey, Jason, the good news you got is you got through. The bad news is you need 2 to tie, 3 to win. But I'm backing you in, Jason. Here we go. Question number 1.
Thank you.
Which team led the NRL in run meters after round 9? Was it the Dragons, the Broncos, or the Sharks?
I would say the Dragons.
Yes, yeah. The Broncos, Jason.
That's a much harder question one than my question one.
Yeah, I reckon.
Do you agree?
I agree. Jason, I'm still backing you. We need this one, mate. Question number 2. Which team was higher on the NRL ladder after round 9? Cowboys, Bulldogs, or Eels?
Wow, that's tough. Oh, I'll punt and say the Eels.
Oh, shot. Jason, we're in the game here. Jason. Here we go. Question number 3.
Here we go.
Which of the following sports has not been contested at the Olympics? Motorboat racing, chess, or rackets?
They don't get any easier, do they?
Well, they get more ridiculous, Jason. You could put it that way.
Yeah. Motorboat racing, chess, or rackets?
I would say motorboat racing.
That's bad. I can't believe that. That's been at the Olympics.
What Olympics was motorboat racing?
Jason, just to let you know, it was chess that hasn't been contested at the Olympics. Motorboat racing and rackets.
Where does he find this stuff?
He's very, very good.
Is this how he spends his week?
Very, very good.
I know he produces your Ray Thomas one-on-one program, but
he spends the rest of the week just getting these questions just to trick you, mate.
Producer Jeremy.
That's why he gets paid the big bucks.
That's right.
Hey, Roy.
Hang on. Yeah. They pay him, do they?
Hey, Roy, who's your team, mate?
Oh, I was just thinking, being a country boy, I thought I'd see if I can get a country rugby league watch.
You know what, Roy? I don't think we do have, Z&Z Jewellers, I don't think they do make them. But what we do have is in our possession is a country jersey,
do the right
courtesy of Classic Sportswear, signed by the captain, Mitch Orbison, and the coach, Craig Fitzgibbon. So, mate, as part of your winning today, what's your NRL side?
Tigers, yeah.
Okay. I think they still make them too, funnily enough. We'll send you out a Tigers watch and the country jersey, courtesy of Classic Sportswear.
And we did say 2 CDs.
And a couple of CDs as well. Ray, in a very generous mood.
Thanks, Timmy. Thanks very much.
Absolute pleasure, mate. No problem.
Roy.
You stay on the line, Roy.
Enjoy
we'll get
the game
details.
This afternoon too, mate.
Yeah, I will. Yeah. Can't wait.
Yeah, absolutely.
You,
be great. So there you go. Roy wins, which means I win. So it's wins all round, isn't it?
Which means you've
something for everyone there.
That's a score check, 12-6.
12-6, yeah. In the end, they're thinking about calling it off.
Game over.
Yeah.
Stop the fight.
You know what?
Stop
they're going to have to start thinking of a new format for it, like State of Origin. some of the administrators, like producer Jeremy and producer Tanya, will get together and try and come up with a concept that is a bit
more competitive.
Yeah. What do you think?
I'm with producer Jeremy. He just said you're a very hard man.
But did producer Jeremy say that down the line? He didn't say that to me. So we're looking for those sports that no longer played, given the fact it's the last City Country game. Someone's just sent in a photo of the Coca-Cola World Sevens. You're right, they don't play them anymore. Robbie Slater will be our legend of the game. Of course, it's A-League Grand Final Day out there at Allianz Stadium. That'll be a full house. We'll look forward to that. He will headline our list of guests